Welcome to the Striving Together podcast, a podcast for the Imago Dei Church family to help us follow Jesus together in the grace of his gospel. My name is Shane Shaddix. I have the privilege of serving as the discipleship pastor here at IDC, and I am joined today by a cast of characters. We have Trevor King, who is a pastor here at IDC, and we have Donnie Hollis, who is also a pastor here at IDC, and we have Katie Weaver, who is all things at IDC, college discipleship director, membership coordinator, growth groups coordinator extraordinaire, and various other functions as well. So welcome, guys. Thanks for joining me today for this conversation.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
All right. So the topic on the table is Bible reading plans. So this episode will release towards the end of the year of our Lord, 2022, and everybody is thinking about next year, or if they haven't yet, they will in the next few days, about next year, and, ready or not. And so we just wanted to have a quick conversation about Bible reading plans, the joys and the struggles of having Bible reading plans. And so I've asked you guys here because you guys are experts on the Bible and on Bible reading plans, so do not disappoint us.
Okay. That checks out.
No pressure.
Can confirm. Okay, let's just start with the benefits, maybe why someone would want to consider a Bible reading plan as we look forward to 2023. Why might this be something somebody wants to do looking at next year? Trevor, why don't you get us started?
Yeah, I think one of the main things is just consistency, accountability, right? It being in a reading plan gets you in the Word. I think it helps you stay on track to just be consistently taking in the Bible every day, which is super helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Consistency, just a direction, even. Yeah. That's good. Katie, any other thoughts for you?
Yeah, I think as we do this Christian life, as we strive together, there is often a growing desire to spend more time in the Word. Mm. And sometimes there's a struggle to know how to do that.
Okay.
Or how do you be consistent, to Trevor's point? And so sometimes having a plan can help with that. Just be an assistant or a tool to help keep us in the Word, not necessarily a means to an end in terms of, or maybe just a means to an end in the sense that it's not about the discipline of doing it rather than it is about being washed in the Word daily.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
I think too, in the same way we preach through books of the Bible at IDC, you end up going through books that you might not would.
That's good.
You know, otherwise, I spent a lot of time in the prophets this year that I wouldn't have otherwise if I didn't have a plan saying it's time to read the prophets.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people choosing to read through Numbers on their own.
That's true.
So.
At the same time, I mean, to your point, super helpful, like really, really
Absolutely.
Helpful. Yeah. And Katie, I appreciate what you're saying, especially over time, different parts of scripture land on us in different ways. And if we're only picking and choosing things that are familiar or comfortable, then we might miss out on some of those things. You guys also mentioned when we were talking beforehand, the benefit of it just being kind of provided for you. Talk a little bit about why it's good for someone just to say, hey, read this next, as opposed to what the alternative is when you just open the Bible and like, go. I mean, have any of you guys had extended seasons where you don't have a plan, and what does Bible reading look like then?
Good question.
Yeah, I can tell you that having seasons in my life where I haven't used one, it's really easy to gravitate toward those sort of just key passages, key verses that I know, that I'm familiar with, and going back to them over and over again. Or you get in the habit of today I'm just gonna open up randomly and figure out.
Let the Spirit lead.
Let the Spirit lead, right? And now I'm reading sort of out of context and don't necessarily know, how am I appropriately applying and understanding this passage when I'm just sort of opening and pointing to a verse.
That's good.
I think whether we want to admit it or not, we do tend to gravitate towards the familiar. Mm. And sometimes that can just mean passages that are familiar, whether they've been taught on a lot or it's a topic. Maybe it deals with a topic that is close to us for whatever reason in that season or circumstances that we're in. And so I think even conversely, the beauty of going through a Bible reading plan and maybe spending time in a passage or a book that you're less familiar with or you don't spend as much time in, and watching the Lord apply things from that, from whatever you're reading, to your life.
Yeah.
Kind of the reverse of I'm spending time in God's Word and I've been amazed at how he has used this passage from Ezekiel to apply to my context, versus I'm going through X so therefore I will read this passage. Kind of helps with the like exegesis of his word, sure, rather than the opposite.
That's good. That's good. One of the things that I appreciate about Bible reading plans is they force a particular kind of reading, which is that broad swath, kind of the 10 to 30,000 foot view, where you're not necessarily in the nitty gritty. Oh. That's a valuable and necessary way of engaging with the scriptures. But there's also a necessity to make sure we're zooming out and getting the kind of the forest and not losing the forest for the trees. Sure. And I just don't know how else to do that other than to just be in it a lot. And what a good plan is going to do is just going to have you in a lot of Bible in ways that when you do drop down and do those kind of in more in-depth studies, you can draw on Ezekiel or Leviticus and be like, oh, like I've read about the sacrifice or something like that before. And so it's just it's kind of serving a different kind of purpose. Let's talk a little bit about maybe the challenges, dangers, drawbacks, that kind of thing. We've talked a little bit about this just offline. What are some of the things we have to be careful of when we're thinking about a Bible reading plan? How could we approach this poorly? Donnie, what do you think?
For myself, I can do it just as it's a box to check. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes it even it makes it real easy to feel good about yourself when you check off a box. Mm-hmm. And you can, as you were saying, there's different ways to approach the scriptures, read the scriptures. You can have that, you know, the larger view, and which is very, very helpful. But you also need to have the devotional, you know, the personal interaction, not just having read, but trying to get have the Bible interact with my heart.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And there's something about, for me at least, checking a box, I can easily skip over that part where it interacts with my heart. Mm. And it's just, I've done it and go on to the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Trevor, what are some of the things you've had to be careful of as you've worked through a plan?
Yeah. I think we got to kind of avoid the extremes on both sides, right? We don't want to be so against a reading plan that we never end up reading consistently or thoroughly, right? Those kind of the goals, I think, is that kind of consistent, thorough, intentional reading of the scripture. But to Donnie's point, right, we don't want to go on the other side where we're just trying to check a box. We don't want to be rigid about it, that we sort of hang our righteousness mm-hmm. before God on the fact that we're reading every single day or we've gotten through X amount of the scripture over a certain amount of time. It's very possible, right, to check a box and never be changed by the word, right, never be affected by it. And there's nothing magical mm-hmm. about a reading plan. It's a tool belt. And that's the key. We got to keep it mm-hmm. in that focus.
Let me just press in on that just a little bit. Like, okay, you're a pastor. You're telling me that if you miss a day or miss some days or something like that, there's a wrestle with like your righteousness, your standing before the Lord. Like, walk us through. I know that you're not advocating for this way of thinking, but tell me through where your mind and your heart goes in that wrestle with, man, have I failed or am I failing as a follower of Jesus? Because I have, like, how do we get there? Because we know that's not the gospel, but somehow we fall into that. Like, how's that work?
Yeah, man, it's easy for me, particularly. One, I'm kind of a task-oriented person.
Okay.
Being able to get things done, check the boxes, right? I've got a to-do list that I follow. I'm pretty much a planner, mm-hmm. right? So Bible reading plan fits sort of naturally for me.
Your identity.
Yeah. So it's just really easy, right? If I'm not getting things done, if I'm not able to check the box, and then you sort of add on the weightiness of reading the Word of God. And you add on the weightiness of this is the primary means that God is communicating to his people, right? And so if I'm not prioritizing it, right, if I'm not doing it in such a way, in such a consistency where, man, I can check that box off every day, then it's easy for me to begin to question, okay, is it a priority in my life or not, right? And if it's not a priority in my life, then does that upset God?
Right.
Does that frustrate God with me? Right.
And what does that say about me?
What does that say about me as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, and I'm not prioritizing his word, right? And to your point, like, that's not the gospel at all, right? But it's easy to fall into that trap.
Yeah.
It's easy to think, man, so much hinges on this. And then when I fail, when I don't check that box, it's easy to get down on myself, right? And then to just want to condemn myself and want to allow the lies of the enemy in that say, man, I'm not good enough,
that's good.
Right? Rather than No, the Lord loves me.
Yeah.
Right. Regardless of what box I check, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, Katie, you mentioned this, something, a struggle like this, similar, like, how do you correct from that? How do you kind of come back from that?
To add to what he was saying, I think it takes away the Bible from being this beautiful gift that we have kind of into a chore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was never its design. You know, if we were to really kind of scan out a little bit, zoom out, and to see God just handing us his word and saying, here's how you know me.
Yeah.
I am a personal God. I am not aloof and distant. But sometimes when we get stuck in the rigidness, it becomes more of a chore.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes I struggle with that, or can feel convicted about how I feel like reading the Bible has gone from a grace and a gift to a chore. And so I think to wrestle with that is just maybe going back to the gospel itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been humbled by how much reading the plan I'm in this year has made me meditate on grace and just what does it look like to miss a day or not finish maybe the chunk that you've been assigned and be okay with that.
Yeah.
And instead think about what you have read and how the Lord will use that. And, but it's not easy. You know, there are some days where I feel like I've missed whole chapters, or maybe I'm like, I'll just make it up in the car, you know, like out, which again, not a bad thing. Like praise God that we get to listen to his word also, that we have the resources today to do that. But fighting the temptation to feel like this is just me getting it all in, or like fitting it in, or making up what I've missed, instead of just saying like, okay, well, today I'm in these chapters four, so I'll just move on. So yeah, I think just resting in the grace that it is to know Jesus, and the gift that it is to have a tool, and that being enough, and not feeling the need to fill in all of the gaps that I've missed in all my spare time.
So practically speaking, if you miss a day, do you go back and try to make it up, or do you not?
I think at the beginning of this year, I did.
Okay.
At the beginning of this year, I have distinct memories of like, all right, I've got a 4-hour road trip, so I'm just going to crank out 2 Samuel. You know, like I'm just going to listen to the entire thing for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I think as the year has progressed, as life has added various things, I have learned to do that less, not for the sake of not getting it in, or for maybe that, to not just check off the box, but instead to be present with the text that I have.
That's good.
Be present for what is given for me today and be content with what that's going to teach me.
Yeah, that's good. Donnie, I mentioned the idea of not missing the forest for the trees. I feel like there's also an inverse danger of only, you know, doing broad swaths of reading and at no point kind of digging down a little bit, or at least making sure that there are, you know, takeaways or actual kind of engagement with the scriptures, especially, you know, in the way that Katie's talking about, as a means of communion with God, that kind of thing. Any tips for how, as you're reading larger portions, you make sure that fuels communion and helps you like actually kind of dig in a little bit, or basically to not stay too high?
Yeah, I think it's helpful to, I wish I did this every single time, and it kind of depends on where you are, how easy it is to do it, but to grab a phrase or a sentence from your reading that you then meditate on throughout the day, and just try to like, you know, whatever that is, write it in your notes, text it to yourself, whatever, in case you forget it, so your mind can be drawn back to the text all day. I found that to be helpful.
Yeah.
Where it's just constantly, you have to deal with it multiple times, and so that's
super good. Just some kind of truth that you're not just checking off the box, as we've all kind of talked about. But after the reading or in the reading, you kind of say, okay, that was really helpful. I want to keep meditating. I want to keep coming back to that. I want to use that in some way, and I want to share that with somebody as a way of saying, I'm not just going to kind of zoom over, but I'm actually going to take away from this, take something away from this.
Yeah, I think along those lines too, you know, talking about what do you do when you fail, when you don't read that day, or you can't check that box, let's say. I think this is hard for all of us, but learning to recognize the grace of the Lord Jesus in the fact that there are multiple streams of Bible that we are swimming in throughout the day.
Right.
So you've got your Bible reading plan that you would have, you know, by yourself. I would hope if you have a family, you're doing something with them Bible related, at some point throughout the day, whether it's whether it's formal or informal, but there's some sort of interaction there. You come to church, so you're going to be interacting with the text that we're interacting with, you know, as a body on Sunday, and then you're going to be interacting with it when you go to growth group on Wednesday. You've got friends, hopefully you're going to talk to coworkers. And then just what the Spirit brings to mind. So it's not if you have this one, if you don't do this one time during the day, you're devoid of Bible for the rest of that day. You're probably going to get, but it's hard to recognize those, for me, for all of us, it's hard to recognize quote unquote small graces. And I think that would be one of them to, you know, you don't have to get so far down on yourself if you didn't check that particular box, because the Spirit's always bringing stuff to mind and giving us opportunities.
That's good. And I think by extension, if you miss that particular time, it's not just that you're done with Bible, or that you're not done with Bible. Also keep in mind, you're also not done with Jesus. Like Jesus does not commute, like he is not with you because you have done the like preparatory work that it's like you haven't like made yourself receptive to him that morning. Like he is for you and loves you and calls you to walk with him regardless of whether or not you check the box. And so you're freed up to commune with him through all those other means or through the various means of grace that we have. I think, you know, my temptation is sometimes if I can't check the box off, then it's like, well, hopefully we'll get it tomorrow. And I guess I just gotta make it through today without messing up too bad. And then tomorrow I can be a Christian. It's like, like today you can still be a Christian. But not to swing so far the other way to say that being in the Word doesn't matter.
There's something just so true about that. You know, you talked about our communion with the Lord, the way that we communicate with Him. The communion, though, is based on the union, right? It's not the other way around.
Right.
And that's where we're tempted to, if I didn't have the communion with Him, maybe I'm not united to Him.
Right.
And that's just you know, it's ridiculous if you do it in another category. I didn't get a chance to talk to my wife today like I wanted, so maybe we're not married.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be like, that's ridiculous.
Maybe tomorrow you can be married.
So anyway, I don't know what it is about the human condition that makes us think that way. But
well, I think a lot of, I mean, my suspicion is part of it is a lot of like, earning. We want to earn. We want to earn this standing and this relationship with the Lord. And it's really hard to just rest in the fact that now, like, He is not waiting for us to establish the means of connection between us and Him. He's done that already.
So good. I think it's important to remember, too, that, like, the Word of God never returns void, right? God is active in His Word all the time. So I think it's good, right? Do your best to be in the Word daily, soak up the Scripture. But even if it's a little bit at a time, right, to your point of there are multiple streams, right? There are moments when God uses His Word like a flood, right, bursting forth, creating immediate and massive change and effect. But then there are moments when God uses His Word like a steady stream, right, slowly over time, changing us in the same way that a river over time carves out the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so just trusting that God will use His Word. He is using His Word in various ways that we're getting it.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
Yeah.
Right. Trust it.
Yeah, I just heard somebody the other day reference, it's like thinking about lunch 3 weeks ago. Like, you can't point to any part of who you are right now that you can connect directly to your lunch 3 weeks ago.
Right.
But the lunch 3 weeks ago was used to sustain you and to grow you and to make you get, you know, to get you here. That's how a lot of this is as well. Like, that is still the Word affecting us, even if we can't always be like, well, that's when I read Ezekiel 13:12 and it changed my life forever. Right. I don't know what that verse is.
Yeah, I hope it's really good.
I'll be super impressed. Really impressed.
The other thing too, just in thinking about failures, is there are seasons in your life where having the time devoted to longer scripture reading, you have it, and there are times when you don't.
Right.
When you're, you know, a lot of people compare how good their communion with the Lord is to the time they had in college when they had. They may have had a part-time job. They had some school they were doing, and they had just a ton of free time.
Sure.
Well, and they had a two-hour-long quiet time. It was like, praise God for that. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
But then when you move down the road a little bit, and you're, you know, 5 or 10 years, and you're married, and you've got a newborn. You got kids, and you got a newborn, and it's like, I just need a verse today.
Sure, getting out the door with something of substance.
Yeah, and there's so much, I feel like there's so much like guilt associated with that, especially for new moms or moms who have young children.
Professionals, and I think a lot who have really full schedules.
Yeah, and it just doesn't, the Word shouldn't, it doesn't have to be burdensome that way. And you don't have to compare your benchmark doesn't have to be that time when you had 2 hours available. You might really legitimately have 5 to 10 minutes of, like, I'm just thinking of a mom, right, of small children. You might have 5 to 10 minutes to yourself. And I you see the way Jesus interact with the widow and her mite, and seeing, like, this is what she had and she gave it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a whole lot there that I would love for the moms in this church to feel like, I'm still a Christian, even if I can only read my Bible for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes or 1 minute or whatever. Like, I hate to put a time on it, but just some sort of interaction is still good. You know, like, to your point, having the scriptures read to you, I think that's one way husbands can love their wives who are in that season. Hey, let me just read the psalm. You don't even have to pick it up. Let me read it to you. Yeah. If you're in the car, that's the time you have, then take advantage of it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I love what Trevor said about just the word never, being like, it's never void and is always active. And so I think sometimes, specifically pertaining to plans, we can tend to think, like, what's the value of reading? Like, I read Ezekiel, like, this time last year. Why would I need it to read it again? And I think believing that because the word is living and active, the words don't change, right? The words on the page are the same, but the way that the Lord teaches us and reveals himself through it is just always, like, the depths we will never mine. We will never be able to get to all of his knowledge and wisdom. And so the fact that he is kind enough to, like, take the same Bible that we read as many times as we can in our lifetime, and teach us about himself is just another, I think, encouragement to read it. Yeah. It's just like, if we want to know the word and get it into our, you know, I think specifically of, like, having it written on our hearts, you know, Psalm 119 comes to mind of just the beauty of the word, the gift that it is to us. The encouragement that it's like, we will never fully know it. And so as we read it, as these plans are tools for us, we just get to see glimpses of it anew every time we read it.
Yeah, that's good. I want to get super practical here real quick, just to give a couple handles. Trevor, any particular plans that you like or you would commend to folks to consider?
I would say first, the right reading plan, right, is the one that actually has you in the Bible.
That's good.
So whatever that looks like, that's the right one.
Yeah.
What's been helpful for me, one that I've used a lot, there's actually a website, BibleReadingPlanGenerator.com.
It's just like a cheat code.
It just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, it's a real, real simple.
Say it again.
BibleReadingPlanGenerator.com. But it allows you to kind of create your own, which has been really helpful for me. I've used that before. And I've also used different ones. You know, the really popular Bible app on the phone, right? They've got tons of reading plans, and I've used those over the years, too. That aren't a year long, right? Some varying lengths of time, and some that dive into specific books, some that are, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, some that are full Bible,
and some that are even topical.
Some are even topical, absolutely.
That's good. Katie, do you have one that you would recommend, or one that you've got experience with that you would throw out there?
I think through the years, have done character studies, have done book studies, and I maybe just more an encouragement to start small, or just with what works for you in the you know, back to the point of just, like, not starting with, like, I never read my Bible, period.
Yeah.
To, like, I must read the entire Bible in a year.
Sure, that's good. That's
going to be, like, pretty ambitious. Not that it cannot be done. I'm not saying that. The Lord can do all things. And so he can make that happen for you in your life. But I think just this idea of, like, similar to fasting, like, you're not going to go from never having fasted to, like, fasting for a week, because that's going to be really, really challenging on you. And
maybe.
And so I think just not biting off more than you can chew, like, that's not necessarily meant to be a pun, but I think starting small. I personally, the plan that's worked well for me this year, and it's probably the first plan that's had me go through the whole Bible in a year, and that was a goal, you know. I set this goal and have had to learn a lot about grace this year, but it has me through different books of the Bible that walk you through Jesus's life, how the church has been created, and while also going chronologically. So it's kind of mixed all of those things. That has been really insightful from a historical standpoint, I think, following God's people and his church, while also interspersing, like, the Psalms and some of the writings and things when they were actually written, but also when they're applicable to the encouragement of the text.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's been really helpful for me.
Yeah. No, Excellent. Donna, you're going to do something different next year. You also did like a read through the Bible in a year.
Yeah, Katie and I did the same plan.
Yeah.
Do you want to say what it's called?
I've got to look at it. It's a wonderful name. It's the Chrono Harmonic Ecclesiocentric Bible Reading Plan of 2022.
Also rolls off the tongue.
Right. Right. Yeah, song about that.
Tony Turnus put this in our path. It's got created by a guy Jason Seville. I have no idea who he is. But
hope he's great.
But the plan was great. I really enjoyed it.
So
this next year I'm going to use the say the name of the
Bible Reading Plan Generator.com.
The Bible Reading Plan Generator.com to try to just spend more time in the New Testament.
Nice.
And the Proverbs. Okay. So I'll try to do that several times this year.
Go through it several times.
Yeah. And I think really, you know, to Katie's point, I love that in the new year, everybody gets ambitious.
Sure.
And I think you need to grab that ambition while you have it. But you also need to find a plan that you can really do on your worst day. Like, what's
good?
Yeah.
What's on my worst day? What can I get through? And then kind of start from there.
Yeah, that's good. Which I think the fact that we're starting off a new year and all that kind of stuff, there's nothing magical about a year that,
right.
You know, Trevor, you mentioned one time you did a 2-year plan and all that kind of stuff. And I just want to encourage brothers and sisters to not feel like you've got locked into a particular thing. My reading, I usually don't use a plan in the sense that something that's laid out kind of by days. I use a more of like a tracker where I kind of cross off the chapters that I've read. So I do make sure I go through the whole scriptures, but I'm not necessarily following a precise timeline. In some seasons, I can really cover a lot of chapters, and then some seasons, it's like, you know, I've read one or two or something like that, and that gives me the freedom, because the checkbox element that you guys have been talking about is too cumbersome to be helpful for me. Like, it just gets too distracting and too much of a temptation in my heart, and so I want to keep working through large chunks of scripture, and so I would just encourage those who are listening to find, you know, maybe a plan is not the best for you.
Right.
Find some way to encourage you to get in the Word, cover lots of ground as best you can, focus on particular things, whether it's season or, you know, topics, so theological, it could be ethical, just discipleship topics. And then the last thing I would do is probably encourage you to bring somebody along, do this with somebody, so that you can share in the Word together. Mm-hmm. Again, not to boast, not to impress anyone, but really to be able to share in the Word together. To Donnie's point, if you're walking through the Word with somebody, and maybe you don't get to read as in-depth that day, but whoever you're reading with, they did, and they get to kind of share that with you, just how encouraging that could be. And so this would be a way that we can kind of lock arms together to help one another commune with the Lord and just be encouraged and do the ministry of the Word to and with one another. So. Yeah. Any final words of encouragement or exhortation you guys would give before we close it down?
I just like what you said about changing the terminology, even like for the people that are listening to this that are like, the word plan puts them off. Like they hear Bible reading plan, and they're like, I'm out. Like, I don't want to do that.
Right.
That makes me cringe.
Can't put me in a box.
Yeah, don't put me in a box. Maybe something like a tracker, or just the encouragement to like find what works for you. Can relieve some of the pressure of like, if I'm not in a plan, I'm not a Christian. Because that's not true.
Yep.
That doesn't come from anybody, but the evil one. So I think that hopefully that can help people who aren't necessarily planners to love and enjoy the gift of God's word.
It's good.
Yeah.
So just having intentionality, right?
Yep.
Just trying to be intentional about being in the Word and resting, finding joy in the Word.
Yeah. That's so good. That's so good.
Trevor, you talked about it earlier, that it's a tool. The Bible reading plan is a tool for the goal of reading the Bible, right?
Right.
And you guys correct me here, but I feel like I've heard you say this, so I'll quote you, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but Shane, but the Bible is a tool as well, right? And with the goal of knowing God.
Yeah.
And so there's no substitute for that tool, but there's a purpose behind it, and so to be a people trained by that's what we want at our church, is we want people who, not just people who read the Bible, though that's good to have people who are biblically literate and know what's going on in Ezekiel 14:12 or whatever you said, but
13.
To be people who are to be people who are trained by the Word and know their God, because they know His Word.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That's good. The goal.
Thank you guys so much for coming and chatting with me and for sharing just what the Lord's been teaching you. And brothers and sisters at IDC, we just pray that this encourages you, exhorts you to spend time in the Word, to walk with the Lord, to share in the Word together. And so we pray that 2023 would be a year that we all benefit greatly from communing with God through His Word and growing together in that. So thank you guys, and we'll talk to you next week.